Well, you've heard all the accusations now for 6+ years. President Obama is a Muslim. President Obama is a socialist, a communist. He wasn't even born in the United States. He can't be president. What do you think?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, we are going to open up lots of cans of worms today on The Line of Fire, but as always, in a constructive way, Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. There is some breaking news you probably haven't heard that I want to discuss with you, but I want to find out what you think as my dear listeners. Now, I know when I say my dear listeners, that there's a wide range of regular listeners, some who are devoted to the show and think the world of me, some who despise the show, and I'm not sure why you listen, but yeah, in years past, I listened to things I didn't agree with, and I listened regularly, so I welcome that, and a whole range in between. So I am not seeking to present a viewpoint, although I will tell you my point of view on some key issues. I want to get your understanding. I'm just curious to know what you think about some of these hot issues that continue to surround the president after 6 years in office. Do you believe he's a Christian? Do you believe he's a Muslim? Do you believe he was born in the United States or not actually born in Hawaii and therefore not legitimately qualified to be the president? Do you believe he is kind of a communist socialist radical trying to engage in class warfare? Do you believe Obamacare is an example of trying to divide the haves from the have-nots? Do you believe these are just false accusations against a man who's doing a tremendous job? I just want to know what you think. You could be divided politically. You could be divided many different ways. But I'm just curious to know what you think. Joel Osteen recently said that he's convinced that President Obama is a Christian. Others say, well, he's professing Christian, but he's not. Others say, come on, the man's a Muslim. It's obvious. Just curious to know your thoughts. So we'll take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before doing that, there are a lot of things in the news. So Mormons now, Mormon leadership, they have officially acknowledged that Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, had between 30 and 40 wives, including one as young as 14 and others who were married to other men. Yep, now I'm going to talk about that more in the second hour because in the second hour we blanket Salt Lake City, Utah, which is the Mormon capital of the nation. We'll talk about that. The UN may actually try to prosecute so-called conversion therapy or reparative therapy, where people with unwanted same-sex attractions get professional counseling, tried to prosecute that as some kind of torture. In the news now, more and more about trans regret, people who have sex change surgery and deeply regret it, which you don't hear a lot on the news. Did you hear about Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, the supreme leader of Iran, of his Twitter tirade against Israel? That's what you have to call it, labeling Israel an illegitimate and bastard regime, calling the U.S. a smiling enemy that is not to be trusted. Oh, did you hear about all of the terror attacks within Israel? A Palestinian stabs an Israeli with him to death at bus stop. Did you hear about that? Dahlia Lemkis, who had previously been stabbed back in 2006, a member of Islamic Jihad, tried to run her over, bus stop, crashed his car after striking her, then stabbed her to death. Did you hear about the IDF soldier stabbed in Tel Aviv, terror attack? I wonder why not. Well, when Israel lifts a finger, the world condemns. What about the condemnation of this Palestinian-inspired terror against Israel? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. What's your view on the president? Again, I'm just curious to know what you, our listeners, think. Now, obviously, if there are a certain number of people listening, one caller could be speaking for 1,000 or for 10,000 people or 100,000 or 10. I mean, there's no way of knowing exactly how that works out. It could be the people with the most fringe beliefs or the quickest to call, or it could be the ones who speak for the most who call. But I'm just curious to know. Now, you say, well, why bring this up now? Because this is not a conservative talk radio show. This is not a show where I get up and bash President Obama on a regular basis. You know my profound differences with him on certain issues. But trust me, things happen in the news day and night and day and night. And the president is in the center of it. And it's only rarely that I will address these things. But here's what's happened, all right? And here's why I'm bringing this up today. The midterm elections were clearly recognized as a national mandate against the president and his policies and a rejection of what Congress has been doing in many ways. You look at how the people campaigned who got in. You look at how the people campaigned who lost. And it's very clear how this falls demographically. The president is very unpopular now, just as President George Bush was very unpopular, especially the last couple of years of his presidency. Now, I would say that, of course, the secular media has overwhelmingly been positive on President Obama, while they were negative on President Bush. On the flip side, you've got conservative talk radio and the powerful voices of Fox News, of course, secular news, but a minority. And of course, they've been much more positive on President Bush and much more bashing of Obama. But the fact of the matter is, the midterm elections were rightly seen as a vote against President Obama now. Well, I just, looking at things, reading things, I picked up a little book written by David Horowitz back in 2009. And it was called Barack Obama's Rules for Radicals, Rules for Revolution, following the Alinsky model, Saul Alinsky. Now, conservatives have consistently critiqued President Obama and said he's following Alinsky's rules for radicals. And Alinsky himself was a community organizer, and there's good evidence that President Obama learned a lot from the Alinsky model. And others say no, but then he distanced himself from Alinsky, etc. Okay, fair enough. There's debate, all right? So I read Horowitz's little book. If you don't know David Horowitz, he was famously liberal decades ago and had a radical conversion out of liberalism to very strong conservatism, and will often expose a lot of things happening in the news and happening in Israel and bring a more truthful perspective. Well, I read the book. It's not a long book, just got a mini, it's a mini book, got it on my Kindle e-reader and read it while I was overseas in Hungary or traveling on the plane. And I have to admit that looking back 5 years later at what he said and what he was predicting, it's kind of shocking to see what actually happened. Really kind of shocking. So I have an article that's coming out tonight on WorldNet Daily. It's called Why Obama's Presidency Was Doomed to Fail. Now, if you voted for President Obama or you're offended in me saying that, let me just explain why I wrote what I wrote. First, I explained that the rock star hype around him made it impossible for him to succeed. When you have that much euphoria, when think of the Democratic Convention 2008, when he spoke, it was like a stage set for Greek gods. He speaks to more than 200,000 in Germany in 2008. He gets the Nobel Peace Prize in 2009. For what? Think back. I'm criticizing Nobel Peace Prize people, not the president. He just received the award, okay? What's he going to say, no thanks? But it's completely outrageous they gave it to him in 2000. For what? For what? When you have that, you are the man. You're almost presented as the savior. I'm just saying that's the way it was presented. That's the way, kind of the new rock star. Well, you can't be a rock star and a president.
because the political system is such, you're going to have constant conflict. You're going to have difficulty pushing things forward either way. Our cynicism as a people, there's no way that you're going to have that much hype. It's like someone says, Mike Brown's radio show, the first day I'm on the radio, is going to be bigger than Rush Limbaugh. He is going to be the savior. And you're going to fail because the expectations are impossibly high from the outset. And then another reason that his presidency was doomed to fail was that people actually believed he would fix everything. Do you remember the YouTube video? There was a woman named Peggy Joseph. Back in 2008, she said, I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. She actually thought, with the president coming in, the campaign slogans, the way things were presented, that's what she actually thought. Now, she told filmmaker Joel Gilbert this year, she said, during that time, we needed a change, but change for the better, not for the worse. She said he had a very big voice, just like the Wizard of Oz. The wizard was this little teeny tiny man, and I think it's the same thing with Obama, the man behind the curtain. She said, I was Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. That's how I feel. She said, what I learned is never trust the wizard. It's within ourselves to have the determination, the courage, and the brains to bring us to our destiny. So with the anticipation that we elect him, then he's going to be kind of our personal savior to wage war on poverty and other social ills and social evils, of course you're going to be disappointed. And then a third reason is that America did not intend to elect an Alinsky-type radical. Election Eve 2008, our president said, we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. How about this quote from David Horowitz? After Obama became a U.S. senator, his wife Michelle told a reporter, Barack is not a politician first and foremost. He's a community activist exploring the viability of politics to make change. Barack Obama commented, I take that observation as a compliment. His views, in many ways, are more radical than the populace that elected him, because of which, they are now disillusioned. All right? I blame President Obama partly for that, and I blame the hype around him partly for that. But that's the reality from my perspective. So it got me wondering, in light of, well, he's a socialist, well, he's a communist, well, he's a Muslim, well, he wasn't even born in the United States, just wondering what you think. Now, please feel free to call and tell me that you disagree with every word I said. It's perfectly fine. Or agree with Joel Osteen or disagree with Joel Osteen about the president being a Christian or say it's not our business. Perfectly fine. I simply want to know what you, my listeners, think. We'll start in Washington, D.C. With Sarah. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, hello. I agree with some of the things you said. I look at what he's done with the country, and I see someone that acts more Muslim than Christian. I see the people around the tri-state area, Maryland, Washington, and Virginia, and many of the Muslims believe he is Muslim. I know that he wears a ring. I know that he has various accoutrements that would lend one to think that he's Muslim. If he were a good Muslim, I would have no problem with it. If he's a Muslim that cannot say he is a Muslim, I have a problem with that. And also, he made a lot of promises and said a lot of things that he completely did not go through with. And I'm sorry, I can't mention everyone. I've been reading about them for a long time. I have that little book that you have by Horowitz. I have not read it because I just thought, oh, we got enough problems. But I want to say that you'll know him by his fruit. And that I think he liked all the pandemonium and all the God-making. I think it was part of the machine that got him in the first place. I think he's very immature, but very smart. I don't think he's a fool.
Yeah, certainly he's very smart. There's no question about that. And certainly he has an agenda. Hey, Sarah, thank you for the call. Matt, look into this ring issue. Thank you. Someone brought it up to me in Hungary, driving me to the airport, wanting to know more details about the Muslim ring and so on and the history of it. And just one of these particular things I've never focused on. Let me urge you again. We have 2 years left with President Obama in office. Let's pray that God will really get hold of him. Let's pray that God would raise him up as a champion of righteousness. Let's pray that God will use him to turn America in a better direction. Let's pray for that, all right? We need to do that. And when we focus on wrongdoing in others, let's be sure to repent of our own sins and our own guilt before God. I would say this, that in the Muslim world, if he was raised as a Muslim in Indonesia for any period of his life or was in a Muslim school that Muslims, and his father was Muslim, that Muslims would look at him still as a Muslim in many ways. Also, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that's how he'd be looked at. Also, when he gave his famous speech in Cairo, he did use phrases like where the Quran was revealed or when the Quran was revealed. And that would also point to extreme sensitivity to Islam. As for not carrying through on promises, some for sure he hasn't, but others, I believe he has in a very radical way. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, if you are listening to me on WMCA, if you're listening to me on internet in the New York, New Jersey, Long Island area, please, please, please meet me this weekend. That's right, I'm coming your way. Our number one financial investment every day is reaching folks in the greater New York area, and then secondly in the greater D.C. area on some of our great stations, WMCA, WAVA, and then, of course, across the country and then around the world. But I'm coming your way. If you're a pastor or leader in the Queens, New York area, there is a Kingdom Partners Network. This is for leaders only. That'll be tomorrow morning, Thursday. Then Friday night, Brooklyn. I'll be speaking at Trinity Tabernacle of Gravesend. Please join me, 8 o'clock Friday night in Brooklyn. Change your plans if you can to be out there. Then Saturday morning at 11, I'll be in Belmore, Long Island at Shaareh HaShemayim, Messianic Jewish Congregation. If you've never been to a Messianic congregation, great opportunity for you. And then on Sunday in Ozone Park at Living Word Christian Fellowship, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. You say it's hard to remember all that. Just go to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org, and right where it says contact, if you hover over that, you'll see itinerary, and it'll be all laid out with with links to each of the different places where I will be speaking. Can't wait to see you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Gary in Edison, New Jersey. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr.
Good Hello. Afternoon. Yeah, go ahead. Good afternoon.
Yes. I agree with your opening statements. I agree entirely with them. And I have a question about Joel Osteen. And I'm saying, what is your description of a Christian?
Yeah, well, my description of a Christian, and theoretically, Joel Osteen's would be someone who has put their trust in Jesus to save them from their sins, who has been born again into new life in him, and who now lives to do the will of God, and who follows the scriptures as God's authoritative word. Anything less than that would not be a Christian, as I understand it biblically.
Well, I don't think the president is qualified to be a Christian according to what you're saying and according to what, you know, standards are. He's for abortion, which is the number one thing, and I can't see anybody who is a Christian to be for abortion. He's for gay marriage, and there are probably other things that I just can't remember right now. But to me, the main thing, if a person is for abortion, which is killing babies, how can he be a Christian? And I don't know where Joel Osteen looks at him as a Christian.
Yeah, Gary, I don't believe Joel Osteen has looked at the issues person, in my opinion, thought them through, analyzed them on scripture, as much as, you know, just in my heart, I really believe he's a Christian. And, you know, that, of course, can get you in a whole lot of trouble. Hey, Gary, thank you for the call. I'm sure you speak for others as well. If you're just tuning in, I just want to know what you think after we've gone through the midterm elections and the national rejection of so much of what President Obama has done and criticism. And again,
It's very common for presidents to be heavily criticized in the midst of their term, especially in a second term, to become increasingly unpopular. That's happened before. But I believe it's just fair with all the controversy. In fact, I haven't even done this. I mean, in 6 years, I haven't had a show just ask all these different questions. Want to know what you believe, what you think about our president. Is he a Muslim? Is he a Christian? Is he neither? Was he really born in the United States? Does he have a socialist, communist type of agenda to incite class warfare and take from the haves and give it to the have-nots? Again, I just want to know what you think, what your views are. Let's go to Terry, somewhere in Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. How is everyone doing?
Well, I'm doing great.
I just wanted to say that when I think about President Obama, he's a Bilderberg, an antichrist, a Muslim, and a prevaricator, a liar. And how do you know he's lying? He's moving his mouth. He says that, I'm a Christian, but who knows where you go when you die? And for him to say, but, he negated everything. He negated saying, I'm a Christian. You know, that's not no longer a true statement when he said, but.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's a non-citizen with that pristine birth certificate that looked like they invented it the day before they publicized it. It doesn't have a wrinkle, a mark, or a notation on it. When he was 10 years old, he gave up his Indonesian citizenship. He also said there's not only him playing in South Africa with Donald Trump as a boy, but he said before he was elected the second time that in this country, my approval rate has gone down, but in the country where I'm from, it's still high. He keeps giving the American citizens every indication of telling them the truth, but they won't listen after he tells lies.
Got it. Terry, thank you for weighing in clearly and expressing yourself. Appreciate it very much. Loud and clear. Loud and clear. You can differ. You can agree. You can be somewhere in between. I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. We're going right back to the phones, but before I do, I really want to encourage you to take a moment. Trust me on this. I wouldn't mislead you. Take a moment. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. All right? And click on the special resource offer. Watch the video. A really important DVD teaching series. What does it mean to be grafted in? What does it mean for Gentile believers to be part of the Commonwealth of Israel? Do they become Jews? Do Jews become Gentiles when they get saved? What does it actually mean? Tremendous teaching series. I got to participate in it along with my friend Dr. Jeff Seif, also looking at prophecy and Israel. And then when you order the DVD series, we pay the postage and you get free my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. Could be one of the most eye-opening books you ever read in your life. It's been continuously in print for more than 20 years, translated into more languages than anything I've written. So check that out or call 1-800-278-9978 to order. Only $25 for everything, postage paid. 1-800-278-9978. Three DVD set plus the book. Makes a great holiday gift as well. Let's go to Joe in Hicksville, Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Praise God. Thanks for taking my call, Michael.
You bet.
I just had two comments about whether he's a Muslim and whether he could be president. I mean, I don't take any, it doesn't matter to me where he was born. It does, nationally, lawfully. But the big question is can he be president? Swear to uphold the Constitution. He said quite clearly before he was elected, while senator, where he did nothing, by the way, and then after, he mentioned it twice, that the Constitution is America's biggest problem. But he said it the other way, America's biggest problem is the Constitution. So that should void him out from ever being put up there in the first place. And mm-hmm. As far as the founding fathers go, George Washington stated that if you subvert the word of God, you couldn't be and call yourself an American. That's not written in law, but it's there. And as far as him being a Muslim and a Christian supporting him, when the New York City schools were put on the street because of the gay people wanted to get married there, his statement was, through Hillary Clinton, I just left the president, she said, and he said that gay life is more important to me than...
All right, got to jump in. Out of time.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In a few minutes, we are going to speak with Chris Doyle, a voice for the Voiceless and International Healing Foundation, about the question of the UN's attack on what is called gay conversion therapy. But I want to continue to take your calls. Had a go as Joe was speaking, but from Hicksville, Long Island. Joe said he went to a mosque for 6 years. They told the congregation that they must vote for Obama. Now, what their reasons were for that, that's another question. That's just what he related. Also, Aaron Klein, a journalist and radio host Aaron Klein, says that he hired a Photoshop forensic scientist who said that President Obama's birth certificate had been altered. All right, just telling you what he's reporting. I'm simply asking for your take on these issues and letting you speak freely, but so I can get to as many as I can, as direct as you can be, the better. Evangeline in Silver Spring, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I'm glad to hear you, and I wanted to say something when we talk about someone being a Christian and a believer for that sake. I think the main thing as a Christian, as a believer, to tell that I'm who I say I am, it's by my testimony. And that's what establishes a believer, because they'll testify that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we don't have a testimony, then we have not confirmed who the person is. So
got it.
As it is, to the best of my knowledge, I have another testimony, and when there is no testimony in place, I wouldn't confirm otherwise. I wouldn't confirm one is a believer or a Christian for that matter.
Very clear.
In the
All right.
Of a testimony, we can just say by default, our question is not answered.
Yep. All right, Evangeline, very clear. Where is President Obama's true testimony of conversion? And with that confession of Jesus as Lord, thank you for calling and weighing in. Again, just getting your viewpoint. Sonia in Queens, New York. Thank you, Sonia, for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes.
You're on the
yes,
air.
Yes, Dr. Brown. I've listened to what you have to say about the president and what they're saying about him. In the first place, Dr. Brown, you said that they're asking what is a Christian, what makes a Christian. Christianity, I'm sure you know, it's not in our word. It doesn't matter what the president said or what he didn't say. George Bush is a Christian, too. He said a lot of things, but he didn't do a lot of what he said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here through his whole presidency. It's not in our words, it's in our deeds. Another thing is, the president said on the day of his inauguration, fixing this country and fixing what is wrong with the United States, it's not a quick fix. Anyone in their right mind or have any kind of understanding or good common sense would know it is not a quick fix. Everything takes time. But on the other hand, If you're trying to build a radio station and all the wonderful programs I've listened to, but if you had someone or other stations tearing you down every time you try to move positive, your station would not be what it is today, would it be?
Well, let me just ask you, Sonia. It seems that you have a bit of a double standard because, number one, President Bush was bashed by national media day and night. People even
yeah, he was
calling.
Bashed. I would admit that he was
right. Okay. The other thing is, there's radical negative agenda that President Obama has wanted to institute. For example, with redefining marriage, he began his first year in presidency designating June as Gay Pride Month and inviting gay activists to the White House and saying, "This is your house, and we're going to bring about change," which he did. So I believe he's brought about a lot of negative change. But I said earlier, given the country the way it is, when everyone was expecting and they voted for him to change the whole world overnight, of course that's not going to happen. Of course not. And of course people will be disappointed. Hey, got to go, but thank you for weighing in.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, this headline I'm going to read to you as we change subjects for a few minutes. This headline I'm going to read to you is not made up. It is on Breitbart.com, conservative news outlet. UN may ask U.S. to prosecute, quote, gay conversion therapy practitioners. Yeah, That's an actual headline. The report says this. On Wednesday, a UN committee in Geneva asked State Department representatives what the federal government was doing to prosecute psychologists who help patients change their same-sex attractions. The question came during the U.S. report to the UN committee on torture, on torture, on how the U.S. is complying with the Treaty Against Torture, to which the U.S. has been a party since 1998. The treaty defines torture as pain or suffering caused by a public official for the purpose of punishment or to elicit information. joining me to separate fact from fiction and to get to the heart of this matter is Chris Doyle, himself a former homosexual. He is a professional trained therapist, counselor. He leads the International Healing Foundation and Voice for the Voiceless, and he's been on the air with us a number of times. Chris, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Good to be here, as always.
Now, Chris, I want to play a couple of sound bites for you in a moment, but you have already been on this. There's an article released November 4th, so 8 days ago, where you are quoted and you are getting involved in this. What's your take first on how this even began in the UN, and then what can we do to address this?
Well, you know, Dr. Brown, typically I come onto your show and I have something very eloquent to say, and it's in nice prose, and it's around the area of sexual orientation and the complexity of sexuality. But on this particular issue, I can sum it up with one word: madness. The UN has absolutely gone mad. And the fact that they're even entertaining that licensed counselors who are seeing clients voluntarily to reduce unwanted same-sex attractions and are equating this to torture is absolute madness.
Yeah. I think that that's perfectly eloquent in point of fact. So we're not talking about people being kidnapped and sent off to some reprogramming camp where they're going to be waterboarded until they renounce homosexuality. The UN is actually addressing the issue of people that want professional counseling to help deal with unwanted same-sex attractions. Am I understanding this correctly?
Well, you have to understand, to get a good context of how it's come to this level, that in the last 3 years, gay activists have been desperately trying to pass these laws across the United States. They succeeded in California while no one was looking. And then in New Jersey, they had to bring out crazy activists like Brielle Goldani, who said she was sent to conversion therapy torture camp, which we later found out that it was nothing but a fictional story from a movie by drag queen RuPaul, which was reported on your show several times. So that was what happened in New Jersey. And then it was used against Governor Christie in election year to sign that ridiculous law into law. Now, in 2014, our coalition and our lobbyists have actually defeated 14 of these bills in legislatures around the United States. So what the activists are now realizing is it's not so easy to actually pull these lies in front of state legislatures. So what are they going to do? They're going to go try to take it to the international level, where it's really, at its best, a kangaroo court at the UN, and in order to try to generate some headline. But ultimately, this kind of madness is not going to really do anything. It might go into a report. It might go into some kind of spectacle on some kind of news show. But when people actually look at the facts around this, the witnesses that they have coming out to say that they were tortured have been highly discredited, like Samuel Brinton. Even gay activists have said that his story doesn't hold up to the facts. But yet the UN is willing to hear him. Something is going on in the UN, and I really, really am concerned that the people there are really taking some kind of crazy pill to entertain this type of madness.
Yeah, the fact that it even gets discussed lends credibility to it, to the general public, and they just hear the little sound bites, and then they think torture,
gay conversion therapy? What are they doing to these poor people? So obviously, even if it doesn't succeed in that respect, it succeeds in getting misinformation out. Again, the bills in California and New Jersey, which are currently law, prohibit a minor, even with parental affirmation, from getting counseling. Now, if that same minor, you know, 7 years old, said, "I'm convinced I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body," then they could get counseling that would encourage them to live as the opposite sex and even to get hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty. That would be legal in California. But if someone says, "I'd like to sit down and talk with a professional and try to get to the root of these attractions," that's illegal. Of course, that's a complete outrage. Now, Chris, you were the one that led the charge in exposing the false testimony of Brielle Godani. And it was very public. We wrote about it. Others got the word out. Has there ever been pushback? Has anyone ever said, "Okay, now we've got the evidence to show that Chris Doyle's attack was false and that Brielle Godani really went to this torture camp in what, the state of Ohio, wherever it was"? Has there ever been any pushback against this?
Of course not, because whenever liars are called out, the only thing they can do is either back away, like Brielle Godani did, or in cases like Samuel Brinton, who is now testifying in front of the UN, double down. And when people double down on their lies, like Bill Clinton and Samuel Brinton, we know that there's something pathological happening within these individuals. And that's why I'm really concerned about the mental health of people like Samuel Brinton and the National Center for Lesbian Rights, who's exploiting his story to push their agenda. I mean, is anyone really concerned about the mental health of this man who is claiming he's been tortured, when obviously gay activists haven't been able to, verify this story? It's really concerning that these gay activist organizations are exploiting this young man to push their agenda when obviously he's mentally ill. Is anyone concerned about this young man? I don't think so. I mean, it's just really, really, to me, it's very sad. It's really, really ironic that these gay activists, like the National Center for Lesbian Rights, who's pushing this campaign, or they say they're trying to end abuse, but what they're really doing is they're just exploiting people. They're just exploiting people, and the real people that need to get help, our clients, aren't going to be able to get the help because of this exploitation. So it's really, really ironic that they're trying to stop exploitation and abuse, but what they're really doing is they're actually doing it.
Now, Chris, you mentioned clients, you mentioned help. What are your professional credentials?
I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor. I work in the state of Maryland. I have been working in this field exclusively for 5 years, and over the last 5 years, I've worked with approximately 150 men who have unwanted same-sex attractions. And I'll tell you what, when individuals understand the root causes of why they experience same-sex attraction, and they're not born gay, all the science has shown that essentially any genetic or biological component to a client's same-sex attraction is most likely just occurring in their temperament, meaning that they're sensitive and that they're more vulnerable to experiencing these environmental and familial issues. So we know that people aren't born gay. So when they understand the root causes and they work out and resolve those issues with therapy, with a counselor that understands how to work with them, they experience change. They experience healing. They go on to live heterosexual lives. Of course, they're not out there marching in parades because no one wants to identify themselves as a former homosexual, except for a few people like Christopher Doyle, who's crazy enough to do that.
Right.
But there's people out there, lots and lots of thousands of people out there that have been helped by licensed counselors. But they're not going to go march in front of the UN like crazy people like Samuel Brinton does, because there's no reason for them to do that. They want to do their work. They want to get help. They want to move on with their lives. And so it's just amazing to me that we continue to get this misinformation from these activists, but yet no one can substantiate these outrageous claims.
Let's just put this to rest then. Do you engage in shock treatment and various torture forms trying to get the gay out of people, Chris?
Well, I don't engage in any shock treatment or aversion therapy. What I do engage in, and what my colleagues do engage in, is we journey with our clients. We sit there and we love them and we help them figure out how to reach their goals. And for clients who have unwanted same-sex attractions, we believe that they have the right to self-determination, that no one, no international or national body, has the right to come into your counseling office, just like they don't have the right to come into your medical doctor's office and say that you can't pursue an ethical treatment to live out your life according to your morals and values. Where are we coming to now where we have Big Brother, Uncle Sam, coming into the counseling office and saying, well, your goals for therapy are politically incorrect, and therefore we're going to try to ban this therapy. It's absolute madness. And we've been involved in this campaign for a number of years now, and for readers and listeners that want to find out more information, they can go to our website at voiceofthevoiceless.info, and if they're looking for information on therapy and how to get help, they can go to the International Healing Foundation website at www.comingoutlove.com, comingoutlove.com.
All right, we're going to be right back with Chris. We'll give you those websites again. When we come back, you're going to hear the voice of Whitney Mixer from Showtime's The Real L Word. I want Chris to respond to this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What people need to realize is that this is essentially the equivalent of, you know, taking an African-American kid, putting them in a camp, and telling them that they need to become white by the time they leave.
Yeah.
People need to realize that this is not something that is by choice. You are born this way. And that's what it is. It's the equivalent of changing race or anything like that. It can't be done.
Yeah.
And so therefore it is torture because it's impossible to create another.
That was Whitney Mixer, who appeared on Showtime's The Real L Word. She's speaking with Dave Rubin on The Rubin Report, part of the TYT Network. I'm joined by Chris Doyle, a voice of the Voiceless at International Healing Foundation. Chris, how would you respond to Whitney's comment?
Well, I think the basic underpinning notion that Whitney has is that people are born gay. And I think if you accept the fact that people are born gay and that they can't help it and that there's no choice and no way to change, then yes, I think that there could be a strong case made that this type of counseling is some kind of form of torture. However, we know that's not true. We know the facts over the last 25 years, and even the most liberal of psychological organizations, the American Psychological Association, said in 2008 that there's been research done on this issue from a biological perspective, and that there's no conclusive evidence that anyone is determined by birth to have homosexual feelings. So, you know, it's interesting that these gay activists will swear, right, by these mental health organizations that condemn the work that we do. But whenever it comes to actually looking at the science as to how people are born, as sexual orientation goes, they ignore the research.
All right, one more quote. This is clip number 9, Joey. And this is Jacqueline Glenn, who is now the, quote, it girl in the atheist community. Listen to what she has to say.
This is child abuse.
Exactly.
You know, they should not have the ability to do that to their children.
Yeah.
So obviously the problem lies with the government not having stricter regulations on this. Mm-hmm. I can't believe they're still allowing it. But also we need to focus on the parents and the mentality that goes behind creating this type of thing to begin with.
The conversion people, most of this, I would venture to say that probably 95% of it is based in religions.
It's not the separation of church and state that there needs to be. And it's just yet another example of how religion poisons everything.
That was the voice of Dave Rubin as well. Let me just give my comment first, Chris. Madness, to quote you. But your response to that, and especially as a professional counselor,
it's just a huge violation of people's rights and parents and families to actually live by the values that they deem appropriate. Again, it's the state stepping into the counseling office, stepping into your family, and saying that we know better, we know how you should think and believe, and we think that your values are incorrect, and therefore you should not be allowed to live your faith values. It's absolute madness. Where are we coming where we can no longer have a moral or value on sexuality and sexual orientation? It's craziness. And yet this is being publicized as legitimate news story. And by the way, there's no counterpoint on the show. They're not interested in hearing another opinion. Their opinion is gospel truth, and that's it.
Yeah, and on top of that, Chris, there are also folks that come to you that are secular, that are not religious people, that just have unwanted same-sex attractions or maybe were victims of abuse and now working these things out later. Hey, Chris, I know you have to go, but please give us those websites again for folks that are looking for help or looking to show solidarity.
Right. If you're looking for information on help and on therapy or this issue on sexual orientation, visit our website at www.comingoutlove.com. And if you want to join our movement for advocacy and fight for the rights of former homosexuals, could you please go to our website at www.voiceofthevoiceless.info.
All right. Awesome, Chris. Great to have you on the air. Excuse me
Thank
again.
You.
Thanks for joining us on short notice. God bless you. All right. That was Chris Doyle. I want to grab one more call. Friends, please understand why we do what we do, why we raise our voices, why we sound this alarm. I want you to hear this. Tiffany in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire. What happened with your son today?
Well, my son came home from school today, and he told me that all of the freshmen had to attend assembly from the Gay Straight Alliance, and they were talking about how it's okay to be gay and how, you know, bullying against gay kids is wrong and all of, which, you know, of course I believe bullying is wrong. But they were talking about even they, two of the members speaking even said that one said they were Christian and one said they were Mormon, and that how it was still okay to be gay even in those circumstances.
All right. How old is your son, Tiffany?
He's 14.
14. So was this middle school, high school?
He's in high school. He's a freshman in high school.
All right. And this was a mandatory assembly for the whole school?
Yes, it was.
And you were not notified about it in advance. You found out when he came home.
Yes, exactly.
What did he have to say about it?
Well, I teach my kids at home that, you know, obviously that is not okay. I do teach them that also bullying and discriminating solely on that factor or on any factor is also not okay because they're still human beings and God does still love them the same that he loves us. But that the act of homosexuality is not okay and it is a sin. Like,
yeah.
They fully understand that. And when he came home, he was actually a little bit upset that he had to go. But he
of
thought
course.
That he would get in trouble if he walked out and when he came home, you know, that I would punish him or something. So my question, I guess, was, obviously, I'm very much alarmed at this. I don't feel like a high school or any school should be a platform for the gay community to push their agenda on my son.
Exactly.
And I feel like my rights as a Christian, as an American, shouldn't be trampled on either because, you know, for the sake of what they call tolerance. So I guess I really don't know where I should go from here. I don't want to underreact, but I guess I don't know how to act appropriately to this.
I would go to the school directly. I would say that this was inappropriate. I would make as clear as I could that you stand against bullying and that you would, that is how you teach your child. That's how he is trained, but that you absolutely oppose them pushing a gay agenda on a mandatory assembly on the whole school. And in particular, without your notice in advance. So I would do that. And if they say, hey, we're going to do what we do, I would then bump it up. I would contact the Alliance Defending Freedom and say, is there anything we can do about this? Just in a gracious way. And Tiffany, if you could do me a favor, all right? And when you get a chance, just shoot a note about what happened to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see a contact form on there. Just shoot us a note or send it to info@askdrbrown.org, info@askdrbrown.org. Also, put your address in. I want to send you a book that will be helpful to you and your son as well. If you could do that, I would really appreciate it. Friends, stand with us. This is why we are on the air. This is why we are raising our voice, but we need your help. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, time to stand for righteousness. If you've been waiting to take a stand, what are you waiting for?
Well, you've heard all the accusations now for 6+ years. President Obama is a Muslim. President Obama is a socialist, a communist. He wasn't even born in the United States. He can't be president. What do you think?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
To all my dear listeners in the greater Salt Lake City, Utah area, just curious to know your reaction to official documents now from Mormon leadership acknowledging that Mormon founder Joseph Smith had between 30 and 40 wives. Yep, I'm not making that up. That's been known, reported for years now, being confirmed by Mormon leaders. Just wondering what you think about that. And have you read the article, Trouble in Transtopia, Murmurs of Sex Change Regret? Transgender people who regret their sex changes typically get buried in venom rather than loved, and more and more and more are saying they made a mistake, they regret it. One man, Alan Finch, who decided when he was 19 to transition from male to female, and in his 20s had genital surgery at age 36 in 2004, said transsexualism was invented by psychiatrists. You fundamentally can't change sex. The surgery doesn't alter you genetically. It's genital mutilation. Yeah, this is an article by Stella Morabito, and it confirms what we and others have been saying for some time now. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In light of the Republican landslide in the midterm elections last week, in light of national criticism of the president and his policies, I thought it would be useful just to ask you, our listeners, phones rang off the hook in the first hour, couldn't get to many callers, but we'll try again this hour. I thought it'd be useful to just find out what you think, what you believe. This is not conservative talk radio where we bash the president every day. In fact, we continue to pray that God will make him a champion of righteousness, that God will get hold of him and turn his heart, and that he'll turn the hearts of the nation his last 2 years. I would say up to now, though, the presidency has been a terrible failure and disappointment in many ways. And where he has carried through on agendas, they've been agendas that I would strongly reject. Many of the aspects of the health care plan and his gay activism and his championing redefining marriage and his radically strong pro-abortion stands. He has acted on those things, and that's been tragic. But what do you think? Was he actually born in the United States? Was his birth certificate altered? I just want to know what you think. Is he really a Muslim? Is he a genuine Christian? Is he neither? Is he a socialist, communist, trying to redistribute wealth and incite class warfare? Just want to know what you have to say. And Smith in Herndon, Virginia, you're going to be first up when we come back to calls on the other side of the break. I want to address one more thing quick. The end of last hour, we got a call from a woman who said her son in Massachusetts, 14 years old, freshman in high school, was required to attend a Gay is Okay assembly for the entire school. This is without her knowledge or permission. We talked about those coming out of homosexuality, opposition to that. Okay, in Boston, you had a comment. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to address it. Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
This is okay.
Yes, go,
yes,
please.
This is okay from Boston, yes. I am calling in to say that, the world is becoming more and more depraved, and it's okay to be gay. That's what they think. However, I happen to believe that we are not born gay. It's just the fact that there are causes, and they can set in earlier on in life that maybe a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old starts to feel that way, and by the time he's an adult, he thinks that he was born that way.
I just got to jump in, but you're absolutely right. Deep-seated, deeply rooted, but not born that way. Thank you, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, which will be very, very shortly, again, if you have not heard this, and you are a Mormon, you have not heard this acknowledged, Lori Goodstein reports, New York Times, November 10th. It's official. Mormon founder had up to 40 wives. Mormon leaders have acknowledged for the first time that the church's founder and prophet, Joseph Smith, portrayed in church materials as a loyal partner to his loving spouse, Emma, took as many as 40 wives, some already married, and one only 14 years old. The church's disclosures in a series of essays online are part of an effort to be transparent about its history at a time when church members are increasingly encountering disturbing claims about the faith on the internet. Can I speak candidly to every Mormon listener? You really need to be unsettled by this. It really damages the credibility of your founding leader. And you really need to look at criticism against the Book of Mormon and questions about Joseph Smith's alleged initial revelations. You need to look carefully and understand that you have been duped. I just want to say it as plainly as I can. You say, what about the Bible? The Bible is God's word. The Bible has not been discredited, and Jesus has not been discredited, and Paul has not been discredited, and Moses has not been discredited, but you need not to put your head in the sand. You need to come into the light. If you have the truth, you come into the light without fear. And if you listen to the show for years, you will know that I don't get on the air all the time and talk about Mormonism. In fact, it's very, very infrequently that I do, not because it's not an important subject, but it's not an area of my expertise or focus or a particular thing that God has called me to focus on. And if I could either down Joseph Smith or lift up Jesus, I'll lift up Jesus day and night. At the same time, let the truth be told. John 3, Jacob, James, the third chapter, both of those make clear that those who have the light, have the truth, are open and willing to hear and listen. All right. President Obama, your view. I just want to know what you, our listeners, think. In my view, his presidency was doomed to fail because he ascended to the heights of superstardom like a rock star and was exalted out of all proportion, especially with his limited experience. And there is no way that you can be a rock star and a president. There's no way that you can be exalted by your party and by the media and by your campaign managers and made into this demigod type of figure without disappointing people. And then there were many who really thought that if President Obama could be elected, that if they were poor, if they were having financial needs, if they fell behind in their mortgage or something, that somehow he would help, that the government would now help, or that everyone would get free health care and on and on. There were fundamental misconceptions, whether they came from him or from his people or the media, but there were fundamental misconceptions based on which, of course, there's going to be massive disappointment. And I also believe that Americans did not realize how radical his agenda was. And if they realized it, they would not have voted for him in the numbers that they did. Those are my views. Those are my opinions. I pray for him. I ask God to make him a champion of righteousness and to turn his heart and the heart of his wife and to use them these last 2 years to rock the nation in a positive way. Thus far, it's been much of the opposite. Just being candid with you and praying for our president. But what do you think? What are your views? Was he born in the United States? Was the birth certificate altered? Are you one of those, quote, birthers? Isn't that as crazy as believing in the protocols of the Elders of Zion or the Illuminati or some weird theory like that? Does anyone with their head screwed on right not believe that he was born in Hawaii, as his birth certificate says? That's a question. Just want to know what you have to think. All right, we'll start in Herndon, Virginia. Smith, you're up first. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. First of all, before I say what I have to say, let me get something clear. When somebody asked you about, well, how did you define a Christian, you mentioned about Joe Olson. And were you also implying that, to your knowledge, you believe that Obama is a Christian?
No, I think he was differing with Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen recently came out and said that he believed that Barack Obama was a Christian. And I believe this gentleman was challenging it and saying, how can you be a Christian and be pro-abortion? How can you be a Christian and want to redefine marriage? How can you be a Christian and have certain stands? So that's what I understood him to be saying.
Okay, I got that. Now, I just want to mention my belief. Well, forget about my belief. According to the Bible, if you take the Bible, you're very well aware of what the Bible says through the fruits you should identify. So if anyone asks or is thinking of whether he's a Christian or not, or even us ourselves, I think we pretty much lay it out clear through our fruits. And right there with the abortion and all these other stuff that he's doing that goes against the Bible, there are his fruits right there, and that pretty much sets us straight whether he is or not a Christian based on his fruits.
Got it. All right.
Yeah,
clear enough. Anything else you wanted to add, Smith?
No, just doing a good job. Thank you so much. Appreciate your show.
You got it. Thank you for the call. All right, so let me ask this then. Let me just focus on this one issue for a moment, but you're welcome to call in on anything related to your view of the president in terms of the controversies. Not whether you think he's been a good president or a bad president. I mean, you're free to say either of those, but I want to know where you stand on the controversial issues. So this was reported a little over a week ago from Joel Osteen. Osteen's comments came in an interview with Wolf Blitzer. So a week ago Friday on his news program, The Situation Room, Joel Osteen says he's been to prayer breakfast and other events with Barack Obama and heard him express his faith, redemption, and salvation. Joel Osteen said, I just believe in my heart that he's a Christian. He says he is. Again, I wouldn't try and push people away. That's just the opposite of what we're supposed to do. That's what Joel Osteen said. Now, pushing people away and affirming something false, those are two different things. All right. If I push someone away and I say, you're seeking, you're struggling, but you don't have it together, you don't come into my club, that's absolutely wrong. You're a seeker, you're unsure what the Bible says, you're not welcome in my church. You're living with someone of the same sex, or you're sleeping with someone outside of wedlock, and you want to start coming to our church, stay away. No, come and hear the gospel and be changed and be transformed and receive new life from above. But affirming something that is false is not helping anyone. So there's an article on charismanews.com, came out 2 days ago from Susan Hyatt. And she says, I speak as a Canadian living legally in the USA, so I live daily within the American context and with awareness of that which I speak. Speaking in religious terms, if Obama is anything, he's a politician, his religion is politics, his pursuit is power. So she says, I disagree with Joel Osteen. Both Osteen and Obama are good with words, but words, especially politically motivated words spoken in pursuit of power over people, are deceptive and self-serving. And she goes on with her reasons for standing where she stands. So I'm just curious to know, if any of you think that President Obama is truly a Christian. I'm not going to bash you for saying it. I'm not going to attack you for saying it. I just want to know your reason. Do any of you think that he is a secret Muslim? Do any of you think he is a secret Muslim? Just curious to know your thoughts. By the way, on that note, let me go back to this story. Where do I have it? Always a stack of things. Oh, come on. I'm getting closer to it. I can feel. Here we go. The National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., famous venue there, the Washington National Cathedral. Leadership there has come out as strongly pro-homosexual in recent years. It's an Episcopal cathedral. They are, this Friday, hosting their first Muslim prayer service. Now, they've had interfaith meetings, but this is going to be the first service where Muslims lead prayers in the church. The report says, and where was this published initially?
Okay, I'm not seeing it just on my website here, but I'll get you that detail. The report says the prominent Episcopal Cathedral often hosts national events such as presidential funerals, has hosted Muslims at various interfaith services in the past, but planners say this is the first time the cathedral has invited Muslims to lead their own prayers there, which they call a powerful symbolic gesture. Yes, a powerful symbolic gesture that you believe that Muslims have the same relationship with God as Christians do and that Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life. Absolutely, that's what that gesture is saying. Is it any surprise for a group that has already compromised on the gospel in other ways and on morality? We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, a day I've set aside to, we're covering a number of topics, but hearing from you, your viewpoint on President Obama. Do you believe he's a Muslim, secret Muslim, Christian? Neither. Do you believe he was legitimately born in the United States and has a right to be president? Do you believe that the birth certificate was altered? Aaron Klein, a journalist and radio host, hired an expert who is involved in Photoshop and those kinds of things. And according to him, the birth certificate was altered. Somebody said, that's the craziest thing. Who's even going to think about stuff like that? Others believe that he is kind of a socialist, radical, communist, who's just trying to engage in class warfare and psych class warfare. And separate the haves from the have-nots and takes from the haves and give to the nots. Others say, come on, he's a fine American who's really working for the best of our country. I've got an article that comes out tonight, WorldNet Daily. It'll be out tonight at 8 o'clock in the evening. Every Wednesday night, they publish one of my exclusive articles. I'll explain why his presidency was doomed to fail. And I think when you read it, even if you supported him and voted for him, you're probably going to agree with what I wrote there. And I end, of course, with a prayer that God will turn him around and use him greatly these last 2 years. But just want to know what you have to say on this. Let's go to our friend Bishop Harris in Durham, North Carolina. Thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
All right. God bless you, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you.
I just want to say that they recently asked Rihanna, they asked her when she visited the White House, they asked her, well, what do you like about the president, the best thing you like? And the first thing she mentioned was him being black. And, you know, and so people began to pounce on her because of her statement. And I feel that, you know, as an African-American, that a lot of times the problem is that, you know, blacks are so overzealous to see an African-American win that a lot of them was gullible and accepting her regardless of all of the signs. Because me as a pastor, I've seen the signs that even if Barack not a Muslim, and I believe that he's, you know, his views are mixed. And if you're sympathizing, your views are mixed. That's danger. The question of whether or not he's a Christian, I don't believe in my heart he's a Christian because the Bible say in Jude that he crept in unawares, and his mentality, his philosophy is not a biblical stance. As far as also, you know, it says pride come before the fall. And just his mentality of how he sympathized against abortion and with same-sex marriage and many more issues that clash and how much sympathy he has for Muslim regime and the brotherhood and all this other stuff going against Israel, but at the same time playing coy like he's for Israel. You know, there's things that sickens me. I couldn't vote for him either year. That hurt. That really hurt me that I couldn't vote for African-American president as many years as African-Americans wanted a black president, as you know, as you would want a Jewish president or any other race would desire having their ethnicity or color in the White House. I couldn't enjoy it. I haven't enjoyed it. I never voted for him, neither year. And he's somebody I'm constantly praying for, like you, as yourself, and his wife. And I feel that even with Hillary Clinton and him helping to spearhead her campaign to get in, that that's going to be ugly as well.
Yeah, Bishop Harris, I appreciate what you have to say as a fellow believer in Jesus. And as a white American, in a small way, I wished, and I say small way compared to how you would have felt, in a small way, I really wanted to be able to vote and be part of history and elect an African American to the White House. And I think the comparison when you mentioned Jews, it's far more than a Jewish president because of our horrible history towards African Americans, because of how many generations it's been and only recently. I mean, look, how far back was segregation? So this was such a major historic thing. And I fully understand why Black Americans could have voted for him even when they shouldn't, because, you know, they would want to believe the best. And if he said anything that gave them any kind of, you know, thing to grasp onto, they wanted to put their hope in and say, he's going to do the right thing. Of course, I knew he wasn't, based on if he carried out who he was before, which made it grievous. But we keep praying, and I do appreciate you weighing in. It's always good to talk with you, sir.
All right. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Andrea, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to address the question, do I think he's Christian? And honestly, I personally speaking, I don't think he's...
You still there, Andrea? All right, tell you what, stay right there. Somehow we lost your call. We'll check on you in a moment, but stay right there. Let's go to Sacramento. I was going to Sacramento. All right. Okay, tell you what, I don't want to rush a call, so stay right there. If you haven't read this article, Trouble in Transphobia, Murmurs of Sex Change Regret, it's been on Drudge Report, getting a lot of attention. Walt Heyer, who is on the radio with us, is quoted extensively here. Take a moment to read it, because transgender is now being pushed as the new civil rights movement. It is now being pushed as the new black. Sex change surgery is being celebrated. Amazon Online TV has a show that features, it's what, a comedy, not sure, but it features a transgender man and as the star of the show. That's what the actor is portraying, and that, I believe, is the number one show on Amazon's online TV network. It's important to read the article and to find out what's really happening, all right? So someone suggested, getting back to President Obama, that Jesus was never quoted as praying for Herod. Of course, Jesus tells us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come." Pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Told us to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And then, of course, Paul instructs us in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for kings and those in authority. And that would have included a Roman dictator. That would have included someone like Nero. Pray for them, that they would be saved, and that also that we could live peaceful, quiet lives in all godliness and honesty. All right, we come back. I'm going right to the phone. So, Andrea, we'll reconnect. Somehow we were losing you before the break. Albert, Tommy, Brenda, others, stay right there. I'll get to your calls. I want to talk about a new book that's out by David Gushee, an evangelical ethicist who is now supporting redefining marriage and supporting committed homosexual couples in the church. You know, I knew about the book coming out. I've been reading the articles leading up to it. I forgot to address it, just downloaded the ebook last night. When I saw my friend Dr. James White was addressing it yesterday, I thought, I haven't addressed it. I'll give you just a few brief thoughts on that. And may I encourage you, as we're coming to the end of the year, if you believe in what we're doing, if you've been blessed by the radio broadcast either for 6 months or for 6 years or for 6 days, help us. Your contributions will go a long way in enabling us to meet the goals that God has put before us and to touch many, many more people with this broadcast, with many other things that we are putting out, making an impact in America, among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and around the world. But we are listener-sponsored. We are listener-supported. So stand with us. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate for your one-time gift or to become a monthly torchbearer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Just getting your take as listeners, curious to know if any of you believe that President Obama is a true Christian. Do you believe he's secretly a Muslim? Do you believe he is more of a communist socialist type radical in the White House seeking to transform America in a negative way? Do you believe such charges against him are completely ridiculous? Do you believe he is legitimately born in Hawaii and thus an American citizen? Or do you believe his birth certificate has been altered? Just wondering what you, our listeners, think. I know the vast majority, the 99.99% of you listening, are not calling. Of course, that's the norm with talk radio, and not able to get through if you are trying to call. Well, the phone lines are jammed, but keep trying. I want to hear from as many of you as possible. We're reconnecting with Andrea in Dallas, hopefully in a non-dead spot in the house in terms of cell phone dead space.
I know.
Yeah, so go ahead. Just want to know your viewpoint.
Okay, well, I appreciate you taking my call again. No, what I was saying was that I don't think that my heart tells me he's not a Christian, because if a Christian would want to encourage God's word to still be in the public places, they wouldn't be striving to take it, you know, anything Christian out of schools and out of the public places. You know, your actions speak louder than words. Your actions tell us where your heart is. And I feel like he's allowing God's word to be taken out of everything and anything, and that makes my heart sad. And it just tells me he's not a Christian. I just think he's doing what you had just been saying. You know, he's trying to tear. I think his hidden agenda is to tear America down, and it makes me very sad. I can't even look at him on TV. I have to turn it off. So,
all right. Hey, when you turn off the TV, though, be sure to lift up a prayer for him at the same time. Andrea, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brenda in High Point, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Dr. Brown, my personal feelings are that the Bible tells us that, you know, we will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I don't think he's a Christian is because he's pro-abortion, you know, and he's all this gay stuff that he's endorsed and everything. It's just hard for me to believe that a Christian could do things like that. And I do pray for him. I pray for him and his whole family. But I know what I believe about the other too, but I just don't want to, I don't want to say, because I guess since I don't know for sure, I don't want to judge him. But as far as being a Christian, absolutely not.
Yeah, so if someone who says, thank you, Planned Parenthood, and God bless you, and campaigns aggressively for abortion, even late-term abortion, or more specifically, vetoes the Partial Birth Abortion Act, if someone they attempted to abort the baby survived abortion but now needs immediate medical care to make it legal, to mandate that you must care for that child, he vetoed that. How can you that be a Christian? Of course, I feel exactly the same way on that. Brenda, thank you for weighing in. God's the ultimate judge of you and me and President Obama. Just wondering about your position. Let's go to Richmond. I was going to Richmond, Virginia. I'll tell you what, let's jump over to Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana. Gary, welcome to the line of fire.
Hey, thank you. It's Terre Haute.
Terre Haute. Yeah, I concentrated on getting the first word right. Because I was going to say Terry. I thought, no, Terra. Terra, and I mispronounced it, man. I blew it again. Terre Haute, Indiana. Hey, Gary, tell you what. Since we focused on the name, and I've just got a few seconds here, stay right there. I'll come back to you on the other side of the break. Okay, let's do this together. Terre Haute. Terre Haute. I see so many words, and I don't hear all of them, and Well, get that right the next time, for sure. All right, we'll be right back and hear what Gary has to say. Stephanie, Galen, Albert, others, stay right there. Coming your way.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We go straight back to the phones. Albert in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I absolutely love your show. I appreciate the transparency and everything you do. I want to say I struggle with this for a number of reasons, because if someone professes to accept Jesus Christ, it's kind of hard for me to say, yes, I don't think this person is a Christian. I think on the global scale that politics is such a dirty game, such a dirty business, that it is almost impossible for anyone. And I'll give you an example. Many Democrats, because they're so inclusive, I think it prohibits them from fully embracing Christianity, or they compromise their Christian beliefs for other needs. And I think Republicans oftentimes know that they have the Christian vote, and they will, and some will compromise economic beliefs for the Christian faith. So I guess that's where I struggle with all of this. I think if not Obama, then who? I don't think we're going to find any politician who's going to embrace the Christian faith and the views of and desires of Christians.
Yep. Hey, Albert, I appreciate the comments. And obviously, everybody campaigns. It seems everybody campaigns having a certain religious faith. And then once they're in office, often become questionable. I can't believe what I just did. Gary in Terre Haute, you were supposed to be next. And I got distracted and I came back and my eyes fell to a different caller. So thank you, sir, for holding and for correcting the mispronunciation of your city. Yeah. What's your view?
My view, I don't think the man was born in this country, for one thing. I cannot see how he can bow to the Muslim leaders and slight all the rest of the leaders, especially those who are allied to our country, and not be a Muslim. You know, he bows to the Saudi American princes, and then he gives these gifts and such to the English that were obviously in poor taste. That was a pretty bad mistake.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, there are different things that have happened that have been some cultural faux pas. I guess what I wonder about more is when he gave a speech, his famous speech in Cairo, and talked about when the Quran was revealed. When the Quran was revealed, that's Islamic talk. Now, he was certainly raised in Indonesia and went to a Muslim school. That's not argued. He doesn't deny that. And you could say, well, he's just speaking with sensitivity. But that would kind of be like a Jewish rabbi speaking about when Jesus rose from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit. Well, if he's a religious Jew, he doesn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. So it does raise questions. And again, I'm just getting your take, just getting your feedback. I'm curious to know what you think. That's it. I'm not the president's judge, nor are you. We pray for him. We pray that God will get hold of him and turn his heart and make him a champion of righteousness. I'd love to see the greatest. I would be thrilled beyond words if God got hold of him in such a way that the last 2 years turned the presidency around so dramatically that he became known as one of our greatest presidents. That would be thrilling beyond words. Right now, it's been quite the opposite. But with God, all things are possible. Just want to know what you have to think. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Galen, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. This is my first time calling, and this is my first time listening to your program, and I have enjoyed it thoroughly. I was blessed to just turn 50 years old, July the 23rd, and I want to take the time and just say, did we make such a big deal about President Bush's religious
views or President Clinton's views on religion. I have not heard so much controversy whether President Obama is a Christian or whether he is a Muslim. The point is that he took on a wonderful, challenging position to run for the president of the United States. And I heard Bishop Harris just speak out of Durham. I'm glad North Carolina is representing well here. But the man took on an awesome job, and people died for us to vote, okay, back in the day. And like I said, you got to give credit where credit is due. And it's just to the point in saying that he is not a magician. He has done the best that he can do, per se, along with the viewpoints and the things that he has. I do not agree with all of the things that he has done as far as homosexuality, as far as lesbianism, as far as abortion, but I do believe that he took on a great challenge. I believe in my president. I voted for him. Like I said, whether he's a Christian or not, I believe in your statement and saying that we're supposed to pray for our people that are in Congress and our senators and our president every day. And like I said, this is the will of God, okay? Plain and simple. We haven't even talked about if this is his will. It was God's will that President Barack Obama got into office. Whether he's a Muslim, whether he's a Christian, it was God's will that he taken the time and got into office. We haven't talked about, like I said, when it came down to President Bush and his son and President Clinton, whether they were, you know, citizens of the United States. We have to go through so much in order, like I said, the CIA and all of these different aspects that you've got to get to in order to even, you know, like I said, even become a senator. But this man has taken on a great challenge. I love him. I pray for his family. And I just ask that, as you said, we pray for him, that he makes good choices and good decisions. But I feel very strong about it. Let's give credit where credit is due, plain and simple.
Yeah. Well, Galen, first, thanks so much for calling the very first time you listened and for the kind words. I appreciate that very much. And I do appreciate you sharing perspective. And it's 6 years now that President Obama has been our president, and I've been on daily talk radio a little bit longer than that, about 6.5 years.
Yes, sir.
And this is actually the first day in 6.5 years that I've put all these questions out and said, what do you think? Because this is a Christian-based, biblically-based program as opposed to conservative talk radio, which is mainly political. So we'll talk about political issues, but mainly moral issues that come up and things like that. I just want to throw out a few things quickly. As far as President Obama being an extraordinary achiever, he's an overachiever. To get as far as he's gotten is quite extraordinary. I feel that one of the downfalls to his presidency was he was hailed as almost a superstar and presented in such ways that people actually expected him to fix everything, and nobody's going to do that. So in that light, you know people are going to be disappointed. But I want to throw out something. If you think about President Bush, he was under constant attack about his military record and did he get exempted from military service. And then there were many who accused him of using his Christian faith to push an agenda, for example, that he was going into Iraq because this was part of biblical prophecy. President Clinton, the issue was his morality. I mean, I don't think anyone took his Christianity seriously. But listen, Galen, I've got to run. Phone lines are jammed, but thank you for the call, and thank you for weighing in so clearly. Much appreciated,
okay,
sir.
And thank you for the subject that you're taking the time in and addressing today.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Thank you.
Okay, let's continue to pray. Amen.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much for the call, and that is the goal. I want to hear from as many of you as I can. Speaking of North Carolina, let's stay there again and go to Stephanie in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Mike Brown. Well, here's my thought about President Obama. I think anybody in politics, any celebrity, anybody in the limelight, period, there's going to be a lot of negativity just because that's seems to be the nature of people. They try to criticize, they uplift and then criticize and find a problem. But as far as thinking, is he a Christian? I really truly believe that when he say that he is a Christian, he believes what he's saying. But I think the stance that he takes
it doesn't match with what the Word of God is saying at all. And it's really common, really, in society. There's a lot of people that say, oh, I'm a Christian, and their lifestyle and things that they support and say and do is more about themselves than what Christianity is really about. So that's what I don't want to say that he's not a Christian, because he probably truly believes he is a Christian, just like a lot of my friends that live in, in these alternative lifestyles. And they go to church and they talk about the Lord and they love the Lord. It's that you can't deny that they're a Christian, or they think it, but they may not actually live in that lifestyle.
That's a great observation. Got to jump in. A great observation. He may actually believe that he is, but it doesn't mean that he is, because many are deceived about the faith. Thank you for the call. Give us strength
to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. As I've watched now the midterm elections last week, of course, the president is going to be criticized and attacked. We understand that. Whoever the president is, remember how unpopular George Bush was at the end of his presidency. Now we see how unpopular Barack Obama is at the end of his presidency. Today, with the climate in America and the massive divisions in our country, would any president be massively popular? I would say if there was a terrible attack on our nation and the president rallied the people to fight against that attack and put that attack down, that people would rally around the president. If the president, we had an even more severe economic collapse than we've had, and the president turned things around in an amazing way, that there'd be a lot of popularity. But outside of that, man, I would not want to be in that seat in the White House because of the level of attack and criticism that's going to come against you. I believe in many ways that President Obama's tenure as presidency was doomed to fail because of the expectations, because of the way things were presented, because of almost superstar status he was given in the quick ascent to power. It sets everything up for disappointment. Nonetheless, we can still pray that God can do something miraculous these last 2 years, and that we'd all be amazed at how God used President Obama for the good of our nation. But just getting your thoughts, what you believe about, was he born in the United States? Was he a Muslim? Is he a communist radical? Just curious to know what you think as my listeners. That's it. And I can disagree or agree with your call, but I want to give you an opportunity to weigh in. We'll go to Fort Worth, Texas. I was going to Fort Worth, Texas. All right, let's stay in Texas. Kirk, in what's with our Texas callers? All right, just for that, I'm going back to North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina. Terry, there you go, putting our Texas listeners to shame. We lost our Texas listeners, but here you are holding on to North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire, Terry.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Brown. I wanted to raise a couple of questions in regard to whether or not the president is a Muslim. And maybe you're familiar with this. I don't know if I either read in a book or I heard him say in a speech that his father whispered the Shahada in his ear.
Well, yeah, his father was certainly a Muslim, and in school he was listed as a Muslim. So in the Muslim world, there are many who would say if your father's a Muslim, then you're a Muslim. And they would look at him now as a lapsed Muslim or something like that, but they'd still consider him a Muslim. He grew up hearing the call, you know, he knew the prayer call and things like that. So,
well, okay, then the second question would be, is it not considered a capital crime to convert to Christianity?
In certain countries, yes. In certain countries, 100%. That
so
if
that
a Muslim...
Geography?
Yeah. I mean, for example, Indonesia, it's not the case. If you were in a country, let's say you lived in Gaza and you converted, you could easily be put to death. If you lived in areas controlled by ISIS, that would be a given. There'd be other parts, you know, Saudi Arabia, there'd be grave consequences. In Afghanistan under the Taliban, certainly death penalty. So, for sure. But I think that there are Muslims who don't take him seriously when he says he's a Christian. They still believe he's a Muslim, or they just say he's a lapsed Muslim. But if, in fact, he converted to Christianity and was considered truly a Muslim, I don't think he would say he was ever a Muslim. I think he would say that he was raised in this, but he was never truly a Muslim. But either way, these are fair questions to ask.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep, I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Got time for maybe one or two more calls. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Sure. Just want to weigh in with a brief comment. The most insightful observation that creates Barack Obama that I have heard come from Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh D'Souza gives insight from Barack's own book. And really, the tenor of President Obama's presidency arises out of his father's philosophy of life in fighting fighting colonialism and being anti-colonial. So I don't really have any firsthand insight about the president, but one of the most intriguing is the work that Dinesh D'Souza has done. And that's all I have to say.
Got it. Hey, Brian, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. All right. I just want to mention quickly a new book by David Gushee that's getting a lot of attention. I would imagine that the vast majority of you would say, who's David Gushee? He was known as an evangelical ethics scholar. He's put out a new book, Changing Our Mind, subtitled A Call from America's Leading Evangelical Ethics Scholar for Full Acceptance of LGBT Christians in the Church. I knew the book was coming out, just downloaded it last night. I'd forgotten to address it at all until I noticed my friend Dr. James White had done so on his radio show yesterday. Didn't have a chance to listen to the show yet. I'm sure we share the same perspective. As I went through the book, didn't read all of it, but read good parts of it last night. He's not a biblical scholar. He doesn't claim to be. Robert Gagnon, just in a blog post, has completely devastated key arguments that David Gushee has raised. This was an interaction before the book came out. But I say, again, it is all based on experience. It is based on experience, in this case, beginning with his sister as a lesbian, who struggled with depression and all kinds of other issues because of lack of affirmation within the church for her lesbianism. Once she found that, now she was a changed woman. Then he began to meet more and more gay Christians and gay Christian couples and saw their walk with the Lord and their love for the Lord and so on. And now he is rereading, rewriting, revising the Bible accordingly. It's the standard error, I've repeated it over and again, of reading the Bible, interpreting the Bible through the lens of your sexuality and experience rather than interpreting your sexuality experience through the lens of the Bible. And there are so many who have come out of homosexuality that would say, David, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. So by all means, compassion towards all. By all means, recognize the depth of struggle that many are experiencing. He suggests that, but don't change Scripture. You're helping no one. You are helping no one, ultimately. And in candor, when he says, you know, 50 years from now, a book like his will not be seen as necessary. If we have 50 more years before the Lord returns, or 100 years, whatever, yeah, true followers of Jesus will think, I can't believe anyone even entertained something like that ever. I can't believe that there were professing Christians who entertained that, because there's no way that this position is going to hold. Friends, be sure to check out my special resource offer. Be sure to go to the website, askdrbrown.org. I can't stress how important it is to know what's happened in church history, and to feel the pain of the Jewish people and to see God's eternal promises for Israel. I can't stress how critically important this is. So when you go to the website, you'll find out about this terrific DVD series, three DVDs, I think five or six different sessions, what it means to be grafted in, what are the Jewish roots of the faith. In my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And we're paying the postage to you. You get the book for free when you order the series. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go to the website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, if you really care about people who are struggling, who are hurting, who are in need, don't lower the standard of God. Reach out to them where they are and help lift them up.